রঘুনাথ দাস গোস্বামী, পুণ্ডরীক বিদ্যানিধি, রঘুনন্দন আচার্য এন্ড ডিসঅ্যাপিয়ারেন্স অফ শ্রীল বিশ্বনাথ চক্রবর্তী। Therefore, today we are going to discuss about them. Quite a few great personalities appeared and disappeared on this very auspicious day. Today is also the Vasanta Panchami, the fifth day of springtime. And this is something to be a very auspicious day. And on top of that, because of the appearances of these great Vaishnava Acharyas and also the disappearance of Krishna Chakravarti Thakur, this day has become specially auspicious. We don't have much time to discuss about them, all of them in great detail, but briefly we'll try to discuss about all of them. Therefore, we are not going to recite the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam to talk about person Bhagavatam, is also non different from here reading Grantha Bhagavatam. There is no difference between Grantha Bhagavatam and person Bhagavatam. So today we are going to discuss about person Bhagavatam. First we'll discuss about Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur appears in Nadia district, and his father was a very great scholar, and he was actually a professor of Sanskrit. He had two other brothers. There were three of them, and Vishnu Chakravarti was the youngest, and he was an extremely brilliant person from his childhood. After completing his formal education, he went to a place called Saidabad, or in Murshidabad district, which is just the next district from Nadia. And there he studied further under the guidance of Radharaman Dev Goswami. This Radharaman Dev Goswami was in the line of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur's main disciple was Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. Ganga Narayan Chakravarti did not have any son, so he adopted the son of his friend Ramakrishna Acharya. Ramakrishna Acharya and Ganga Narayan Chakravarti were very intimate friends. Ramakrishna Acharya also was a great Vaishnava. So Ramakrishna Acharya's son was Krishna Charan Chakravarti. And Krishna Charan Chakravarti, he was initiated by Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. And his son was Radharaman Dev Goswami. And Radharaman Dev Goswami was the spiritual master of Vishnu Chakravarti. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, after completing his formal education of Bhagavad and other Vaishnava scriptures under the guidance of Radharaman Dev Goswami, he remained in Saidabad for some time. And he wrote three very important books. They were actually the explanation of three scriptures: Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjala Nilamani. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu was summarized and made it easy for people, Bengalis, who did not know Sanskrit in the name of Bhakti Rasamrita Shindhu, Bindu, and Ujjal Nilmani, Vaidupa Goswami, another important scripture, Vaidupa Goswami, was summarized and simplified by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in the name of Ujjala Nilamani Kiran. Ujjal Nilmani means brilliant sapphire or brilliant blue gem. Actually, who is that brilliant blue gem? Krishna. And Kiran means the effulgence. So the radiation of Ujjala Nilamani, the brilliant blue gem, was Ujjala Nilamani Kirana. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Bhakti Rasamrita means the ocean of transcendental nectar. Bhakti is devotion, the ocean of nectar, or the nectar of devotion, the ocean of nectar of devotion. Bhakti means devotion, Ras means nectar, the transcendental mellow, and Sindhu means the ocean. So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is the ocean of devotional understanding, ocean of devotion. And Bindu means a drop. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur just took a drop of the nectar of devotion and presented it. And in this way he summarized the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And then he summarized Srimad Bhagavatam also as Bhagavatamrita Kana. Kana means an atom, just a small portion, speck. So he took the speck of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this way he presented the transcendental science of devotion in these three books. These three books he wrote when he was in Saidabad. Then from Saidabad he went to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, within a very short time, he was acclaimed as the greatest Vaishnava scholar. He was actually the first jewel of the Vaishnava society in Vrindavan at that time. Actually, soon after the Goswamis left this planet, Vrindavan started to gradually withdraw. The dharma of Vrindavan gradually started to disappear withdraw. The deities disappeared, one deities left Vrindavan due to the Muslim atrocities. The Muslim kings were destroying the temples and breaking the deities. Keshavji's temple was destroyed by one Muslim king called Aurangzeb. And so the devotees of Vrindavan became very worried. So they decided to take the deities away for safety. And the principal deities of Vrindavan, Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Damodar, Radha Vinod, they all were taken away from Vrindavan to Jaipur under the protection of the kings of Jaipur. And Keshavji's deity was taken to Udaipur. And in this way, Vrindavan, that manifested due to Rupa Sanatana Goswami, due to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami went to Vrindavan and revived Vrindavan, re-excavated and rediscovered the Vrindavan Dham. But soon after that, Vrindavan Dham again started to disappear. So at that time, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur again rediscovered Vrindavan and brought back the glory of Vrindavan. And at that time, once again, Vrindavan became the place of spiritual culture, and people started to come to Vrindavan, and most of them were actually studying under the guidance of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. And of all his disciples, His principal disciple was Baladevita. Baladevita Bhushan was not initiated by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Baladevita Bhushan's life is actually very interesting. He was initiated in a Madhva Sampradaya first. But then, he took initiation from one of the grand disciples of Rashikananda Prabhu, a disciple of Nayanananda Prabhu. And then he actually left the Madhva, or his answer left the Madhva Sampradaya. He became included in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya from Madhva Sampradaya. And then to further study the Goswami literature, Baladevita Bhushan went to Vrindavan, and there he became the Siksha disciple of Vishwanatha Chakravarti. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur at that time was very old, and there was certain attack on Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. The attack came in the form of a dispute over Shakyabad and Parokya. Shakya, actually Madhurya or conjugal mellow, has two aspects. One is a relationship between husband and wife, and relationship between a lover and beloved. Relationship between unmarried couple. So, Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, follows the Parokya. And they worship Radha Krishna. Radharani is not formally married to Krishna. So that's why it is called Parokya. Radha Krishna's relationship is not like the relationship between married couple, but it's more like unmarried. Whereas Lakshmi Narayan, Sita Ram are like husband and wife relationship. So, some sampradayas in Jaipur, some Vaishnava sampradaya, most probably they were Sri sampradaya, they actually raised an objection of worshipping Radha Krishna. Govindaji was there in Jaipur, and Govindaji was with Srimati Radharani. So they raised objection of that worship, saying that Radharani's name hasn't been mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam or such bona fide scriptures. So this is a mental concoction, and Radha Krishna should be worshipped. Jaya Shri Radha Madhava. And as a result of this objection, Radharani was separated from Govindaji, and she was being worshipped in some other room, separately. And when the news reached Vrindavan, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas became very disappointed. So they approached Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur to do something about it. And so Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, at that time, since he was very old, he personally couldn't go, so he sent Baladevita. And Baladevita Bhushan went and defeated them and established the position of Srimati Radharani and established the authenticity of Parokya relationship. And then again, once again, another dispute cropped up in Jaipur when this Sri Sampradaya Vaishnavas raised a strong objection of Gaudiya Vaishnavas worshipping Radha Govinda. Actually, the king of Jaipur was a devotee of Radha Krishna. He was initiated in Gaudiya Vaishnava's line. But when these Vaishnavas from other sampradaya raised this kind of objection, he had to listen to them. So this time he himself sent message to Vishnu Chakra, that these people are raising an objection that Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is not a bona fide sampradaya, because Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya doesn't have a commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam. Like every sampradaya has its commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Rudra, Kumar, and Sri Rudra, Brahma, and Kumar, all these four sampradayas have their commentary. But Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, they claim that they doesn't have a commentary on Srimad, on Vedanta Sutra. Actually, Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas did not bother to write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra because Srimad Bhagavatam, they considered, was a natural commentary of Vedanta Sutra written by Vyasadeva himself. So there was no need to write another commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So, but they would not listen. Yeah, so the king approached Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur. And Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur sent Baladev Vidyabhushan. And Baladev Vidyabhushan defeated those Ramanuja Vaishnavas. And he wrote the commentary, Gaudiya Vaishnava commentary, named Govinda Bhashya. So, this Govinda Bhashya is the authorized Gaudiya Vaishnava commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. So, at that time, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas requested King Jai Singh, who was the king of Jaipur, to send back all the deities that left Vrindavan, to send them back to Vrindavan. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur was asked to request King Jai Singh. But King Jai Singh expressed his serious concern that the Muslims are still in power and Vrindavan is still under their, is very close to Delhi, and any time they can attack, break the temple and destroy the deity. So King Jai Singh actually presented another proposal. He said, let there be representative deity in Vrindavan. Let the original deity stay in Rajasthan, because Rajasthan were still under the Hindu king, and they all were very powerful Kshatriyas. So they would be able to protect the deities. And in Vrindavan, he proposed that he would get the representative deity. And most of the deities that we see in Vrindavan today are actually the representation of the original deity, which were actually established by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur under the patronage of King Jai Singh. And King Jai Singh also built the, renovated all the temples that were destroyed by the Buddha. So in this way, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is a brilliant personality who revived the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya at a time when it was going through a lot of difficulties and tribulations. So today is Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's disappearance day. Yes.
Can you tell us what
was? Oh, I see. This is about 16th century. Say about 100 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Well, not the
15th century is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is 16th century. About 100 years. Say maybe later 16th and early 17th. Yeah, then we can just briefly discuss now about Raghunandan Thakur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had three very intimate associates. They are Mukunda Das, Madhav Das, and Narahari Sarkar Thakur. Like, there are three brothers. They used to live in Srikhanda. Srikhanda is a place which is not far from here, not far from here. So, Narahari Sarkar Thakur's elder brother was Mukunda Das, and they were great musicians also. They used to sing for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mukunda Das's son is Raghunandan Thakur. Once when Mukunda went to Jagannath Puri. Actually, all three brothers used to go to Jagannath Puri during the Ratha Yatra festival. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Mukunda, who is the father and who is the son? He asked whether between him and Raghunandan Thakur, who was the father and who was the son? And Mukunda replied, actually Raghunandan is the father and I am the son. So Mahaprabhu accepted that. He agreed with that idea. And Mukunda Das justified that by saying that Raghunandan, actually, it is because of Raghunandan that he became Krishna conscious. Therefore, Raghunandan is actually the father, because he received Krishna consciousness from Krishna. Raghunandan, from his childhood, was a great devotee. Raghunandan is actually Pandarka Manjari in Krishna's Vrindavan. And so in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, he came as Raghunandan. And the Pandarka Manjari is actually the Cupid, incarnation of Cupid. So Raghunandan, there's a very nice story about Raghunandan Thakur. When Raghunandan was a little boy, one day Mukunda Das had to go to a distant place. So he requested Raghunandan to do the worship of the deity. So he asked him to make the offering to the deity. So when his wife made the bhoga, so little Raghunandan took the plate and offered it to Krishna. And so when he was offering, he saw that Krishna was not eating. So he started to cry. That my father asked me to offer this plate to Krishna to you and wanted me to feed you. Now you are not eating. So when my father comes back, he'll be very angry with me. So finally, Krishna, due to Raghunandan's sincere appeal and request, he started to eat. So he finished up the whole plate, being requested by him. So when the father came back, he asked him, so bring the prasad. So Raghunandan said, no, Krishna ate everything. So the father became very worried. So how is it possible? Maybe the son ate the offering in the temple room, which is a great offense. So he decided the next day also he would do the same thing. So he told Raghunandan that today also I have to go to some place. So you go, you again make up. So Raghunandan said, okay. So and at that time, when the offering, Raghunandan was making the offering, Mukunda Das, he stood behind the door, slightly ajar, and he started to watch what's going on. And he saw Raghunandan picked up a laddu and gave it to Krishna and said, now you eat it. So Krishna started to eat. But then Krishna saw that Mukunda was watching him from behind the closed door. So Krishna became embarrassed and he stopped eating. And still today in Shrikhanda, that deity is there with the laddu in his hand, half eaten. The laddu is still half eaten, and that is due to this pastime of Raghunandan. So, we'll briefly also discuss about Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was another associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was from Chattogram in Bangladesh now. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi's house now is our temple. जय श्री राधानाथ। पुनर्विधन इज हाउ इज नाउ अंडर केयर ऑफ इस्कॉन एंड पुनर्विधनिधि वॉज अ बिग लैंड लॉर्ड देयर, इज अ वेरी वेल्थी पर्सन। इवन नाउ इफ यू गो टू आवर टेम्पल इन चट्टग्राम यू कैन सी इट्स अ ह्यूज पीस ऑफ लैंड। And at one time, Pundarikvidyanidhi used to have his palace there. And 500 years ago, that place had a big palace. And that was the palace of Pundarikvidyanidhi. Pundarikvidyanidhi is actually Vrishabhanu, King Vrishabhanu in Krishna. And he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to participate in his pastimes, and there he was. Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very humorous relationship with Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He used to often joke with him, and so sometimes at one time, Gadadhar Pandit went to Pundarik Vidyanidhi and he saw that Pundarik Vidyanidhi was indulging in great luxury. So he saw the man is sitting in a very opulent bed, half lying, and he was like a king. So Gadadhar Pandit could not actually recognize his position, but as a great devotee, where he doubted his Krishna consciousness. But later on, he recognized his mistake, because who went with him? Do you remember? Mukundadatta, right? Yeah, Mukundadatta could understand Gadadhar Pandit's mind. So he recited a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. That verse is describing about Krishna's magnanimous activity. That although Sutana was killed, although Sutana approached Krishna to kill him, but Krishna gave Sutana the position of the mother. Sutana attained liberation and was elevated to Vrindavan and received the position of the mother of Krishna, just because she happened to offer her best to Krishna, like a mother. So when he recited that verse, Pundarik Vidyanidhi lost consciousness and rolled out of bed in ecstasy. So from this, Gadadhar Pandit could understand that Pundarik Vidyanidhi, in spite of his external appearance, was a great, great devotee. And so he became repentant about his mistake. Now here we can also consider a transcendental arrangement. Like Pundarik Vidyanidhi is King Vrishabhanu. And in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, or rather in Krishna's pastime, Gadadhar Pandit is Srimati Radha. So it is some transcendental dealing between the father and daughter, where the daughter doubted the father's spiritual position. And later on, Gadadhar Pandit was instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So Gadadhar Pandit became a disciple of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi was a great, great devotee of Radha Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is another very nice incident. Pundarik Vidyanidhi went to Jagannath Puri. The one day he went to see the deities, went to see Lord Jagannath with Sharadam. And That day, it was a special day when the Lord starts to wear the winter clothes. And this winter clothes were starched. They're called Maduava. Mar means starch. In India, usually, after they cook the rice, they strain the water, and that they use as starch. And that is considered to be impure or unclean. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi became very concerned and he started to criticize. He said, how can they put this Madhuva Vastra, which is not really clean, on the Lord? Usually when someone buys new cloth, they first wash it and then they get the starch out. But without washing, they put this cloth on Lord Jagannath with the starch. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi felt that that was not right. So that night, Jagannath and Baladev appeared to Pundarik Vidyanidhi when he was sleeping. And both of them slapped him. And as a result of that, when Pundarik Vidyanidhi woke up being slapped, and Krishna and Balaram slaps are not simple things, so he found that his cheeks were all swollen. And there was marks of fingers on his cheeks. So when he told that to the other devotees, mainly Sharup Damodar, they started to glorify him, saying that, oh, you are so fortunate that the Lord dealt with you so intimately. So in this way, so we can see what a great devotee Pundarik Vidyanidhi was. He was one of the most intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vishnupriya Devi, you all know, is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eternal consort. Vishnupriya Devi is the manifestation of Bhu Devi. Krishna has three potencies, Sri, Bhu and Neela. So, Bhu Devi has appeared in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime as Vishnupriya Devi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first got married to Lakshmi Priya Devi, the daughter of Ballav Acharya. And of course this is not the same Ballav Acharya, but the Ballav Sampradaya. This Ballav Acharya is from Navadvip. He was a great scholar. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Bangladesh, went to Bengal, East Bengal, to preach. Due to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's separation, Lakshmi Devi left her body. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back, then Sachi Mata was planning to get him married again. And the marriage was arranged with Sanatan Mishra's daughter, Vishnupriya Devi. Sanatan Mishra was the Raj Pandit. He was the king's court. He was the scholar of the king's court, but he was like the minister of the king. Very wealthy person. Naturally, like Vishnupriya Devi is Lakshmi Devi herself, so Lakshmi Devi's father cannot be an ordinary person. So he was very, very opulent. And in that sense, Vishnupriya Devi, she in Krishna's pastime, Vishnupriya Devi is? No, Satyabhama. Satyabhama is Krishna. So in Dwarka, Rukmini Devi is Satyabhama, and in Vrindavan, she is Srimati Bhama. Satyabhama's, Radharani's expansion is Satyabhama Devi in Dwarka. Rukmini Devi is an expansion of Chandravani. So, also in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, another manifestation of Satyabhama Devi is Jagadananda. So, Vishnupriya Devi was married to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is an elaborate description of their wedding in Chaitanya Bhagavata. And there are many description of the exchange between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vishnu Priya Devi in Chaitanya Bhagavata. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Vishnu Priya Devi was feeling the separation very acutely, very intensely. She was only a 16-year-old girl when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And for such a young girl, when her husband leaves, it's very, very painful. And it has been mentioned that she hardly used to eat anything after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas. He used to chant one Maha Mantra and pick one rice. And this way, after finishing her chanting, she used to cook that whatever rice was there. And with that, she would, after offering to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she used to offer that to the mother, Sachi Mata, and feed others, and then she would, whatever used to be left, she used to just take that. In Bhakti Ratnakar, there is a description how Srinivas Acharya met Vishnu Priya, and there it has been described that how she would just take a handful of rice, and that was about all that she was taking. So these are, of course, Krishna's eternal consort. Vishnu Priya Devi is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eternal consort. There is no question of her being separated from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But at least in this pastime, she was separated from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just as Sita Devi was separated from Sri Ramchandra. Then we can now discuss about Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami is one of the six Goswamis. And Raghunath Das Goswami also is an exceptional personality. He was born in a very, very wealthy family in a place called Saptagram. Saptagram is still existing. It's in the confluence of Triveni. There is a confluence of Ganga, Jamuna and Saraswati, which is about 40 kilometers down the river towards Calcutta. There is this place, Saptagram. And in Saptagram, those days, Saptagram was the main center of trading in this part of India. Those days, Bengal was the most opulent part of India. Those days, India was the most opulent country in the world. And in India, Bengal was the most prosperous part. And the Saptagram was the center of trading for Bengal. And Raghunath Das Goswami's father was the landlord or the king of that area. So he was very, very rich person. It has been described that his annual income was 20 lakhs rupees. Now those days, 20 lakhs rupees is inconceivable. A time when an ounce of gold used to cost something like 10 rupees. And at that time, his father's annual income was 20 lakhs rupees. Very wealthy family. And he was the only son. He was the only son, not only of his father, but his brother. There were two brothers, Hiranya Majumdar and Govardhan Majumdar. The other brother didn't have a son, and Raghunath was the only son. So Raghunath Das Goswami, at a young age, when he was just a little boy, or a young boy, he came in contact with Haridas. Nandanacharya was quite closely related to Haridas Thakur. He used to appreciate Haridas Thakur very much. And as a result of that, Haridas Thakur used to visit him from time to time. And
Raghunath Das Goswami met him and became very much influenced by Haridas. And so through him, he also got to know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also from Nandanacharya. And as a result of that, from a very young age, Raghunath became very fond of Chaitanya. And his only desire was to meet Sri Chaitanya. He just simply wanted to meet Sri Chaitanya and be with him. So, then finally, he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Shantipur after he took sannyas. Not right after taking sannyas, he came to Shantipur when Nityananda Prabhu misdirected him and told him that Ganga was Yamuna. And he arrived in Vrindavan. So when he jumped into Ganga, then Advaita Acharya appeared there with a boat and dry clothes. And this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taken to Shantipur in the house of Advaita Acharya. But then again, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to Vrindavan, at that time, he also came to Shantipur. And at that time, many, many people from all over Bengal came to see Sri Chaitanya. So Raghunath Das Goswami also came. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally gave him his remnant. This is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his special mercy to Raghunath Das. After all, Raghunath Das Goswami is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eternal son. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, not him. Radha and Krishna together came as Chaitanya. And Radharani's very intimate associate is Rati Manjari. And this Rati Manjari is Srila Raghunatha. And also another associate of Srimati Radharani, very intimate associate, is Rasa Manjari. So Rati Manjari and Rasa Manjari together in one personality appeared as Raghunatha. So Raghunath Das Goswami received Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And in the form of his personal association and his remnant. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's remnant were given to Raghunath Das Goswami as a token of his mercy. And at that time, Raghunath Das Goswami expressed his desire to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he wanted to travel with him. He wanted to go with him. He said, I don't like to stay at home, so please allow me to be with you. Please allow me to go with you. So then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, Morkat Vaidagya na karo ho, lok dakhaiya, yatha yogya vishaya punjo, anashastra. That don't display monkey renunciation like a monkey, just in order to show off. But, yatha yogya vishaya punjo, anashastra. With a mood of detachment, you just accept whatever is necessary. So please go back home, and in this way you lead your life. Then Raghunath Das Goswami, being instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way, went back to his father's house. Actually, Raghunath Das Goswami, although born in such a wealthy family, he was not interested about materialistic life. He was not impressed by his father's wealth. Then when his parents saw that he was in such a detached mood, they actually got him married to a very beautiful girl. It has been described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that this girl was as beautiful as an apsara from heaven. But still Raghunath Das Goswami was not at all attached to his wife, his extremely beautiful wife. So, in this way, Raghunath Das Goswami became a cause of great anxiety to his parents. But after he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him to go back home and be involved in his household responsibilities with a mood of detachment, so Raghunath Das Goswami accepted that instruction And he became a very good boy. Like everybody thought, his father was very impressed. He said, now my son has become very much involved with the affairs of the estate and other such mundane activities. So father was very pleased. But in the meantime, Nityananda Prabhu came to Panihat. It's a place on the bank of the Ganges, the place where Raghava Pandit used to live. So Raghunath Das Goswami got the news that Nityananda Prabhu came to Panihati, and Panihati is not very far from Shaktogram. So Raghunath Das Goswami came to see Nityananda. And Nityananda Prabhu bestowed his special mercy upon Raghunath. When Nityananda Prabhu was told that Raghunath has come by some of his associates, let's say, oh, Nityananda Prabhu, there is Raghunath, he is offering you obeisance. So Nityananda Prabhu said, oh, where is that thief? Just bring him here. So Raghunath Das Goswami didn't want to come. So Nityananda Prabhu said, okay, bring him here by force. So some of his associates went and grabbed him and brought him to Nityananda Prabhu. And Raghunath Das Goswami fell flat at his feet. And Nityananda Prabhu very mercifully placed his lotus foot on his head. And he said, you rascal, you have been hiding, you have been running away from me. And so now I caught you. You are a thief, therefore I'll give you some punishment. And the punishment is that you have to feed not only me, but all my associates with chipped rice and yogurt. So Raghunath Das Goswami, who was very pleased, he said, yes, yes, sure, I'll immediately make it. So he sent his men to collect huge quantity of chipped rice, chira, huge quantity of yogurt, huge quantity of condensed milk, and all kinds of sweets. And then he said, Nityananda Prabhu and his associates. And that festival is called Chiradai Festival that we organize every year in Panihati, 2 weeks before the Rasa Yatra Festival, 3 weeks before. It's about 3 weeks before Rasa Yatra. In June, July. Here, part of the summer. So, then, after Raghunath Das Goswami received Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, he went back home, and one day Raghunath Das Goswami ran away. He actually made a conspiracy, he made an arrangement. Like Nandanacharya came to him and told him that the pujari has gone back home, and he didn't come back, and he doesn't know who is going to take up the responsibility tomorrow. So Raghunath Das Goswami said, okay, I will go and find your pujari. So saying that, Raghunath Das Goswami just got out of the house. Actually, Raghunath Das Goswami couldn't run away because 12 people were constantly guarding him. There were 4 guards, 6 brahmanas and 2 attendants. They were guarding him all the time. But Raghunath Das Goswami told them that, look, I'm just going to the pujari's house because my spiritual, Nandanacharya was Raghunath Das Goswami's spiritual master. So he said that I'll just go because Nandanacharya is feeling some concern that the pujari didn't come back. So I have been told by him to go, and I told him that I'll go and get the pujari. So I'm just going to get the pujari. So saying that, Raghunath Das Goswami left. And he ran for Jagannath Puri. He didn't even take the main road because he knew that his father would send men and they'll catch him. Actually, a few times before also, Raghunath Das Goswami ran away from home, but his father caught him and brought him back. So, but this time, he didn't want to make the same mistake. So he became wiser and he didn't take the main road. So he took he started to travel through the villages and forests, And in the meantime, the next day his father became very worried when he got to know that Raghunath couldn't be seen anywhere. So he realized he must have left. But he knew that he must have left for Jagannath Puri. So his father sent his men on horseback. And soon they came across Shivananda Pandit. As I said, that this was soon before Jagannath Puri Rath Yatra festival. So Shivananda Sen used to take a huge contingency of Bengali devotees from Bengal to Jagannath Puri at that time. So they met Shivananda Sen, and Shivananda Sen and his party. So Shivananda Sen was a friend of Raghunath Das Goswami's father. Now he also was a very wealthy landlord. So Shivananda Sen actually told, when his men came and asked him, so he said, no, Raghunath didn't come. So they went back and reported to his father. So his father became very worried and very angry. He started to scream and shout that, let us catch him this time, and I'm going to tie him up with a chain. And so his mother, I'm sorry. The father this time didn't really get angry. The mother became very much upset. So she was telling the father that, just bring him, when you get him this time, tie him up with a chain so that he can't run away. So his father replied, the wealth, an opulence like that of Indra, and a beautiful wife like an Apsara could not tie him down. And you think a mere chain, with a mere chain you're going to tie him down to his household? He said, actually he developed his attachment to Chaitanya. And now nothing can happen. So let him go. So in the meantime, Raghunath Das Goswami arrived in Jagannath Puri. But this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu